This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Bow Ties and Bullshits, part of the Two Birds on a Bat show, brought to you from our good friends at InnovatedCompanies.com. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. Randy Green's got you covered. Again, heating and cooling, electric, construction, and now the plumbing team are ready to take care of all of your needs. Get a hold of Randy Green, InnovatedCompanies.com. Check them out. They're ready to take care of you. Coming to you from the patio studios and here to talk a little off-season baseball and what we can look forward to. And I'm going to hit some of these. I've got some of the best in the business on this show from each category that we like to cover. And at the end of the day, what I'm trying to do this off-season is take a look at some of the things we might look at as fans, okay, and really say, okay, I like this or I don't like this or I'm hearing this rumor or this is what I want. And let's face it, it's like Christmas, right? Just because the Cardinals won't do something doesn't mean it's not what I want. I also understand that just because it's a move that I want to happen doesn't mean it's the right move. It doesn't matter, right? So I look to guys that are educated in a certain field to say, this is why what you say makes sense and why what you say may not work. Now, again, nothing's guaranteed either way. So and it's a topic of conversation, and that's what this show is, and that's why it's bow ties and bullshit. So, we'll button it up with the bow tie, and then we'll bullshit a little bit about it. So, the very first guy I'm going to bring in today, of course, everybody, you can recognize that familiar laugh in the background. Fresh off another episode of Prospects After Dark, and I'm going to hit him with an interesting question today, and that's my man, Kyle Reese. What's going on, Kyle?
Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, first off, why don't you give us a little bit of update on or a little bit. We kind of touched on what the Cardinals were going to do with Arizona Fall League. I mentioned a little bit, and you kind of went into a little bit of detail about what it is. You know, it's kind of a proving ground, so to speak. People say Double A is where you really find out if a guy can play. Arizona Fall League is kind of an extension of that. You start seeing guys kind of make their bones, so to speak, if you want to get into your mafia terms, at Arizona Fall League, put themselves on clubs' radars. But at the end of the day, Cardinals have some players out there. Why don't you give us a quick rundown?
Yeah, the Cardinals have 8 players participating. The two guys you're going to want to keep the closest eye on are left-handed starting pitcher Evan Kuczynski and also second baseman, maybe third baseman-ish. He's played third base in the minors, Andy Young. Those are the two names I'm going to be keeping the closest eye on. Most of the national guys, if they're going to pinpoint somebody from the Cardinal system, outfielder Lane Thomas is also a really hot name. But those are the two guys in particular. And then also backup catcher Jeremy Martinez was there. He started the first game for the surprise Seguero's. Will Latcham, who's a really interesting relief pitcher, 17th round of the 2017 draft, from Coastal Carolina, has a fastball that mid-80s, kind of fastball like John Brebbia, and a really sharp breaking pitch that some can't decide if it's a slider or a curve or a changeup. It looks more a slider or a curve or a slurve. It looks more like a curve to me than anything. Again, sometimes it's really hard to classify a pitch at the minor league level. What you're told doesn't always doesn't always line up. But so it's a really hard breaking pitch. He's kind of interesting. And then the two counters, Connor Jones and Connor Green, relief pitcher Connor Green, who is on the 40-man, who has no control, has not exhibited the control you would want out of a relief pitcher who throws in the high 90s with a curveball that can be really good. And Connor Jones, who is a University of Virginia pitcher and has potential to be a very, very solid ground ball inducing Seth Maness type relief pitcher who is still starting in the minors. He would be the other player there, along with the one gentleman I left out is Tommy Edman, who is a switch hitting middle infielder, plays shortstop, can play second and third. And anyways, the only of those guys who have played so far are Andy Young, who had 1-for-4 yesterday with a triple, and Jeremy Martinez, who caught and did not have a hit. And that's kind of how the Arizona Fall League works. You don't know who's going to play day in and day out. There isn't like a set schedule for anybody other than pitchers, and then the pitchers' set schedules change. So it's going to be fun to keep an eye on, and hopefully Andy Young continues to hit, because as I've told everyone over and over again, Andy Young is a hitter, and Evan Kuchinski is most certainly a pitcher, and I think that they're the two guys you want to keep an eye on.
I'm going to ask you to get in your time machine now that we've gotten our update on what's actually happening. So I'm going to guess you to get in your DeLorean. I'm going to fire it up to 80-something miles an hour, right?
88 miles an hour. 80
point something, I think. So I'm going to ask you to fire it up. I'm going to ask you to get it going. The flux capacitor, make sure it's working. We're going to go back in time. We're gonna go back in time because there's a player that you know that I look at as I've said on here 100 times over, okay, that the Cardinals are in a unique position where they have to do something. They need a number three hitter. Now I threw out a broad stroked, this is what a number three hitter is, and they need one. And then I had somebody come back to me. It was very well done, saying, well, that'd be great, but there's only a few guys that do that, what you just said. And I said, well, that's kind of the point, right? Like, and it was broad. So, like, when I say 280, 30 home runs, 100 RBIs, obviously it can vary up and down one way or the other, because we all know that that's how you figure out a player's worth. I mean, I think, you know, we do get hung up in batting average sometimes, but if a guy hits less than 280, but he hits 30-plus home runs and drives in 100-plus RBIs, we all know he's valuable. So, so I understand that. So my point is that the St. Louis Cardinals have a unique need, because not only do they not have that guy, they don't have him even remotely close to being in the minors. And while I know everybody likes the new kid down there, let's be realistic.
Gorman. Yeah. Nolan Gorman.
Let's be realistic. He's 19 years old. Okay, let's be realistic here, folks.
Even on top of that, real fast, he's only 18. He turned 18 after he was drafted. So just to kind of put it into perspective, he turned 18 after the June 8th draft. So he's barely even 18.
And I'm glad he had some instant success down there. That's great. That does bode well for the St. Louis Cardinals. But you can't plan your future thinking that – you just can't do – it's not good business. It's not. It just – I tell you what it is. It's standing pat on a current plan that's not working. Let's be quite frank. Okay, so – the point is that I'm making is that I'm going to ask you to go back in time, because and this week I'm going to pick one of them. So the Cardinals currently have a need. In a unique situation, the free agent market is going to offer an answer for this need in the form of two players. One of these players we all heard about when he was a very young man, and his name's Bryce Harper. So I'm going to ask you to hop back in your time machine. I'm going to ask you to go back to around 2010 maybe, when he was 17 years old. Okay, so I want you to tell me why. I mean, like listen, and I get this. What we've seen out of Bryce Harper really is an every other year roller coaster from him. Really, I mean, one year he's MVP, next year he's good, really good, not MVP-ish, and it gives you that what's what with him, right? Now, I would say that even his bad years, most teams would be ecstatic to take him. He has a unique skill set. But on that note, anytime we're talking about spending somewhere north, definitely north of $300 million on a player, everybody gets nervous and you start talking about being hamstrung. Well, I want you to tell me what this skill set has had since day one that would lend you to believe that he would be a good signing to be a number three hitter for the Cardinals, or in your mind, a bad signing, whichever way you want to go with it, because it's your world, baby. We're living in it right now.
You know what I love? I love about Bryce Harper is when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated as a 16-year-old, or I believe he was 16, he might have been 17, he was a catcher.
Yes.
Everyone forgets that he was a catcher, right?
Yes.
He's decked out in his beautiful catching gear. And look, that tells me, and he was playing in elite leagues, you know, elite, you know, high school level leagues. And he was a catcher, and he was a damn good catcher. And it always makes you wonder, if his bat wasn't so advanced, would he have ever been given a chance to develop as a catcher? He's a smart baseball player. A lot gets made about some of the altercations he's been in, whether it be with Hunter Strickland or Mr. Papelbon. That's something I'm concerned about. That doesn't bug me. But if we're going back to talk to 2010 Bryce Harper, I would tell you that the leverage he gets on his swing is incredible. And he has a beautiful eye that understands. Sometimes he sells out a little too much to hit for power. That could be a concern. But what you have with Bryce Harper is a really unique balance of athleticism. And on top of athleticism, power, patience, and just an all-around game that a lot of other people don't have if he were to maintain his health. If the Cardinals had the first overall pick the year that Harper was drafted, and it came down to, you know, even though Strasburg was drafted anyways, if I had to choose between those two and I was trying to make the argument, I would say, well, Bryce Harper is a franchise player, and he's super young, and he's only going to get better, and he could probably play in the league right now. And that's what everyone was saying about him, and you know what? It worked out. And the .240 batting average means absolutely nothing to me. Not to like get down on people who look at batting average and have super meaning in it. I do think it matters. I do think it shows you how often they get hit at a rate. But when you look at the beautiful on base percentage and the slugging percentage, and if this is a down year for Bryce Harper, then like if this is a down year, then he's still worth the price tag. And he's developed into a pretty solid corner outfielder. I know he's played center for the Nationals sometimes. But anyway, I'm rambling. But what I'm trying to say is he's 26 years old. He's substantially better than Jason Hayward was at 26 when Jason Hayward became a free agent. And everybody in St. Louis wanted to give that guy $200 million to hit grounders to second base and play a really, really great right field.
Correct.
And I can't imagine not thinking that Bryce Harper is worth almost 50% more than that.
For me, it's funny. We saw our friend Mose today tell everybody to pump the brakes, and I'm going to ask him about Paul Goldschmidt. And he said, we've already got a 5-WAR first baseman. Now, the difference is we have a 5-WAR first baseman that leads off. Sooner or later, somebody's got a bat in that 3-hole that drives in runs. Sooner or later. Yeah. Now, I will say this. I'll step out on this limb, and I'll let you give your 2 cents. Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Paul Goldschmidt, say they were able to do something there, you know, whatever. Yes, if you're asking me if I would move Matt Carpenter back to third and live with his defense over there to have Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter in the same lineup, yes, I would. The other piece to this puzzle is you're really doubling down on Marcell Ozuna, because Bryce Harper – let's just take a look at it. Bryce Harper at 34 home runs last year, drove in 100 runs. He was walked 130 times. 130 times. And you know why they walk him? They walk him because runners are in scoring position.
Yeah.
So when a runner's in scoring position and they walk Bryce Harper, that means the guy that bats behind him a lot with a lot of runners on base. So you can do the math.
That's a pretty good lineup, too.
Yeah, you can do the math. And if the guy batting behind him hits 25 home runs, if the guy batting behind him hits 270, 280, you're gonna have a really productive lineup. And see, so that's all of this kind of runs itself. Now, I'm going to get on my Marcell Ozuna rant later, and I don't know if it was you or somebody tweeted out, and they're dead on, why are we not having surgery? What?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, why are we resting? Listen, didn't we rest all offseason last year? I don't understand. What are we going to do different this year? I don't understand. There's something wrong in there. Now, here's what's funny. Everybody said, well, it was affecting his swing. Well, how come at the end, how he hit his best when he come back from the 10-day DL, and the arm wasn't any better? Right? The arm wasn't any better.
Yeah.
It's almost and I'm sorry to say this, and the conspiracy theory thing. It's almost like we've said, you know what? No matter if I have surgery, it's not like my arm's ever going to be great. So who really gives a shit if I can throw from left field? I mean, to be quite frank, and I can hit, so I'm not going to have surgery. I don't have any other explanation for it.
Yeah, you know, the other thing is some of these guys, when it comes to a major surgery like that, the training staff makes a big recommendation, but it all comes down to the players. And it could just be as simple as, and I'm not sure if this is the case with Marcel, but some people actually have religious views against it. And also, he might just not want to get cut on until he absolutely can't take the pain anymore. And again, if I was in his position, I would like to think that what I would do is I would do whatever it took to get that thing fixed. I would definitely go underneath the knife. As someone who has had shoulder surgery to repair a torn rotator cuff when he was a teenager, and someone who's had back surgery to repair a back issue, like, I would get it taken care of. But not everyone does that for whatever reason. He might just think, you know what, that little bit of rest that I had leading into September that did wonders for me, and maybe if I can just have that extrapolated over a couple months, that is enough. Like, if I felt this good with 10 days of rest, I can only imagine how good I'll feel with 2 months of rest.
Well, and again, I get that too. Like, when you're sitting in a room, because they're honest with you. They don't lie. Like, doctors don't, like, look at you and go, oh, yeah, you have this surgery, but I guarantee you. And when you're talking about a shoulder, if you've ever been in one of those, there are no guarantees. None. Zero. Just like your back. Like, you had backs. Like, seriously, just think about your life. How many, like, most people know probably 10 people that have had back surgery. Well, every time it's true to form to me that five of them will tell you, I don't know why I did it sooner, and five of them will say, I'm worse off than I was before. You ever notice that?
Yeah. You're 100% true. Same with shoulders.
Yes. So I get a guy sitting there going, well, you can't guarantee me anything here. I play left field. I don't play right field or center field. It's the shortest throw on the field. And while I know some fans think it's a big deal, and guess what? Every blue moon, it is going to be a big deal. But you got to weigh everything, right? And he's sitting there going, I'm about to be a free agent. And as long as if I hit 280 and hit 30 home runs or 28 home runs, whatever it is, 25 home runs plus, drive in 80 to 100 runs, I'm going to get paid. But if I have this shoulder surgery and I can't do anything, I'm out. So, I understand that, but it doesn't change the fact, like I said at the beginning of the show, I would like to see him have it because I'd like to see him to be the best he can be. But the truth of the matter is that doesn't guarantee you anything. So, that could be it. I don't know. I find it interesting. I saw that tweet and thought about it. It just made me ask the question out loud to myself, and I kind of answered myself, which is never good.
Yeah, sometimes you got to ask the question out loud in order to answer it by yourself. So we're all crazy.
Well, it sounds to me like if the St. Louis Cardinals in about a month said we have signed Bryce Harper to a $350 million 10-year contract, I don't think you would be upset.
No, the one thing that I know for sure, and again, you were going to ask about Goldschmidt or Machado or Harper. The one thing
I'm going to go week by week. I'm going to give you each week. We'll hit on one of those from your. Where they started to where they are now and why they're a good or bad fit. So I'm going to give you each week to talk about it. So I started with Harper because we threw him on the picture this week.
Yeah, perfect, perfect. And I don't, in my opinion, like to give like the overall answers, I don't think it matters. I just think this team absolutely needs a middle-of-the-order bat. And because I'm understanding that the Cardinals love their cost-controlled assets, if you don't have to trade any of your cost-controlled assets that work as secondary options, then why not just pay for one of the guys? We'll get into Goldschmidt, but I will say that I think one thing that stops them from going after Paul Goldschmidt is the one-year deal. You know, the Cardinals, the only time they went after a free agent on the one-year deal was Jason Hayward because they had to pivot quickly because of the death of Oscar Tavares. It wasn't something that they wanted to do. They did it. They're very, very particular about getting guys with multiple years of control. And as you bring up Marcell Ozuna, I personally cannot imagine a situation in which the Cardinals would enter the free agency after the 2019 season, with both Goldschmidt potentially walking and Ozuna potentially walking, along with some of the other players that might potentially walk. That just doesn't seem like it fits in with the Cardinals' plan, but and how they handle an organization. But I just wanted to throw that out there real fast.
Yeah, no, and that would be the logic, the logical side coming out. And that's what this is about, right? Like, you know, you can look at it, you can dream, you can say, I like this, I don't like this, I want to do this, I don't want to do that. But at the end of the day, we're just all spitballing here because there's only a few people that really know what they're willing to do and how far they're willing to extend. And then once they make that decision, you got to have another willing dance partner. So we'll see what happens. Just wanted to give you that stage. And like I said, next week we'll talk about Mr. Machado. And then we'll go with Goldschmidt last, because with him being a trade candidate, we'll see how much more that unfolds over the next couple of weeks, because that was interesting coming out today that they're going to start entertaining offers for basically everybody. So it's almost like they think their window has closed. So pretty cool stuff. Tell our listeners where they can follow you.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter. I'm at KYLER416. I write for Birds on the Black, and we do Prospects After Dark once a week. This week it was last night, 8:30 Central Time. You can find it through Periscope and through Twitter. And it'll probably be a moving thing for the rest of the offseason. And we're going to try to pick like one night a week, either Tuesday or Thursday, to make it regular. But we'll go as news breaks, and we'll go whenever a night opens up. So tune in. It's a blast. We drink and act like jackasses.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. So again, when I did the poll, I know it was your crowd that pushed bow ties and bullshit over the finish line. So good stuff. All right, my friend, I appreciate you, and I will plan on having you next week.
All right, sounds great, brother. We'll talk
all
to you.
All right, that's the great Kyle Reese from Prospects After Dark and Birds on the Black, as he brings you his thoughts each week when it comes to the prospect side of this. And we're going to have a great offseason with him. I know sometimes he's like, man, it's the offseason, I'll do, but we're going to have to start talking about prospects in a different light too, not just what they bring to the table here, but why they would be attractive for trade targets. So lots to do. He doesn't realize how busy he's going to be this offseason as a member of Two Birds on a Bat. So, again, great stuff as always, and, you know, I love it. Time now to go to a total another side of this conversation and look behind the scenes at the numbers. Let's welcome in my friend and yours, Mo's Algorithm. What do you say, Mo's?
How are you doing, Jim?
I'm doing well. Well, the theme this week, obviously, is to Bryce Harper or to not Bryce Harper. That is the question, I guess. Interesting here. I see a crowd of people. I see a variety of people that are off the wagon, and those people tend to be the ones that either, A, always get scared about spending a bunch of money. And, I'll say it. I've said it once. I'll say it again. I have no idea why people care about spending a billionaire's money. Number two, there are people that have seen things sensationalized and everything, and they don't like him. I think sometimes we don't like guys that are a little flashy. And three, people that sometimes look at the big stat numbers and say, you can't tell me that a guy that hit 240 something and, they only drove in 100 runs or whatever, is worth $350 million. Shouldn't a guy that gets $350 million hit 300 and hit 40 home runs and drive in 130 runs, shouldn't he do that? So, again, I think there's a little bit of – and then you have the crowd on the other side that say, well, let me explain to you why he's so good and blah, blah, blah. So we always have two sides, and that's the beauty of this show. So you are always going to take a behind-the-scenes look at a player and who they are, and I like to joke around about this, but you're going to look at the spreadsheet of the player, and you're going to look at the robot in him, and you're going to say, this is why I like him, this is why I think he's the fit, this is why I don't like him, this is why I don't. So you tell me, should we Bryce Harper or should we not, and why, or why not?
So I think we should Bryce Harper. I think he'd be a great long-term fit in right field for the Cardinals. Like I said last week, that doesn't mean you have to trade Dexter Fowler. You could always have Fowler on the bench. There's a lot of different teams with money on the bench. The Yankees do with Jacoby Ellsbury. He sits there and does nothing and makes a lot of money. So I don't think that having Fowler and Bader and Ozuna and even O'Neill for that matter should keep you from signing a player like Bryce Harper. Would I agree with most that Manny Machado probably fits the team aspect better in terms of needing a third baseman? Yeah, but he doesn't want to play third base. That's where you have Paul DeJong, who you already signed a long-term extension to. So I think either way you look at it, you're going to have a ruffling of feathers in terms of finding playing time or whatever for these guys. But just looking at Bryce Harper, yeah, he hit 249 this year, and people turn their nose up at that. And, you know, I don't understand why batting average is still a huge deal with people. He had a 393 on-base percentage. So that's one of the best in the majors. He had a 135 weighted runs created plus. That's very good, 35% above average. I would say this year with his 3.5 WAR, he had a very good season, right? Last year, he had an even better season. He had a 155 weighted runs created plus and hit 319. His batting average, for some reason, seems to go up and down every other year. So if you go back to his monstrous 2015, one of the best individual seasons we've seen in a long time, he hit 330 with a 197 weighted runs created plus. He was 97% above league average that year. So he hit 330. The next year he hit 243. The next year he hit 319. And this year he hit 249. So that batting average is all over the place. His weighted runs created is kind of all over the place. But the worst player you're getting out of all these seasons is Marcell Ozuna. That's the worst player you're getting out of him if you start looking at breaking down his seasons. You know, last year you're getting Joey Votto, you know. His amazing season in 2015, you're getting something that was even better than Mike Trout. So three of his last 4 years, even this year, for instance. So let's go back to 2015. He was Mike Trout. 2016, he was Marcell Ozuna. 2017, he was Joey Votto. 2018, he's Matt Carpenter. Those are really, really good players. And, yeah, he's wildly inconsistently good is how I would describe him. He's inconsistently good. He's a good player at worst. At best, he's a Hall of Fame player. So, yeah, sometimes you would like to see a player with a more steady results, you know, a Paul Goldschmidt or even a Joey Votto. But he's so good at doing certain things that I think he would bring a lot to this club, especially the left-handed power bat that they lack severely outside of Carpenter. And Carpenter's 33 this year and going into probably his last year in terms of his contract he has now. So those are just a few reasons why I wouldn't pay attention too much to the batting average, because his production is still there when he's not. At a high batting average. His lowest on-base percentage over the last 4 years is 373. So the guy still walks a ton. He doesn't strike out a lot. He had some batted ball luck, unlucky this year, but last year he was very lucky. His BABIP goes a long way with his batting average. If his BABIP is super high, his average is super high. If his BABIP is down, his average is down. So I love him. I think he'd be a great fit. I think he is more likely to sign in St. Louis than Machado. I think Machado, I'm of the camp that Machado's going to the Yankees, and it's going to be hard to talk me out of that. So I think in terms of getting him interested in playing in St. Louis, I think it would be easier to get Bryce Harper interested in playing St. Louis than it would Manny Machado.
Looking at this thing, too, the unique thing about this, I say this is unique because – we typically are seeing guys that come up like this, and I mean, and well, here's the thing: this is what people got to wrap their heads around. You don't see very many players like this that are just on the free open market. On top of that, he's 25 years old, so
yeah. You're
looking at some inconsistencies. We're talking about a young man having inconsistencies, which isn't that what young men do. Now, that being said, I mean, there's a case to be made that as he matures, a lot of stuff could level as he becomes more mature within the game. Now, he's beyond his years, and we all know that. I mean, playing this game in this league at 19 years old is not something that goes on every day. It's usually a very special situation. So there's a case for that, too. That's the uniqueness of this, you know? I get it if Bryce Harper's 29 years old or 28 years old, 30 years old, and people are like, well, I'm not giving him, you know, it's coming. I get that. I understand. I mean, very few players pull a Yachty and are fighting Father Time off, right? I get it.
Yep.
I understand that, especially a guy. I mean, you know, this guy. But, golly, to me, it's a need versus ability to get what you need. You know, like I said, it's a thousand. Sometimes you got to stretch and get away from your normal plan because of the situation at hand. The situation at hand is this. We don't have a number three hitter. Now, I know I'm going to save Paul Goldschmidt. I'm going to save that conversation for another day because we're gonna hit the three big dogs here, and only Goldschmidt because the Arizona's come out and said, yeah, we're listening, and you got to pay attention if he's available, whether you like it or not. So we're going to hit him in order each week, and I'm going to let you make your case. But I am going to touch – there was something you said today that I want to say. You said, hey, pump the brakes on Goldschmidt. We already have a first baseman with that kind of war. My problem is that – but what Paul Goldschmidt addresses that Matt Carpenter doesn't is he does it in the three hole. And that is a big problem. And that's a big problem for us. So I guess what I'm saying is that if you asked me, and again, I don't want to get into too much to Paul Goldschmidt today. I'm really more talking about the need for a number three hitter, because I guess then what I'm saying is that if you told me, yeah, they're gonna trade for Goldschmidt and he's gonna sign an extension, would that do would you be okay with that? Absolutely. And then I'll just put Matt Carpenter at third, and I'll live with fans getting upset because when he throws at the first base, he doesn't look like Scott Rowland. I'll live with that. I don't care what he looks like doing it. He can play the position adequately enough that if you're going to give me Paul Goldschmidt at first and Matt Carpenter at third, I'll take it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the other thing that leads me to be concerned is Paul Goldschmidt will be 32 years old next year. And we've seen what happened to Albert Pujols when he started to hit that age. And that, you know, statistically that's the back end of the prime, you know? So you're going to pay a premium for his 33, 34, 35 year old season, 36 year old season.
I agree.
I mean, you start running into the Josh Donaldson type injury things. And the thing that's concerning to me is a lot of his value came from his ability to steal bases, and it's gone. He's stopped running.
Right.
So, I mean, I like Paul Goldschmidt. I just, when you have an opportunity for a Machado and a Harper at age 20, Harper hasn't even turned 26 yet, but he will be at age 26, as opposed to a Paul Goldschmidt, who's already 31 years old. That's 5 years of prime seasons that you're going to get. And Goldschmidt's still going to be expensive, even if you try to extend him. So I like Paul Goldschmidt a lot, but I just like Machado and Harper a lot better. I think you could easily convince Goldschmidt to sign in St. Louis. Again, I think Harper would be easier to sign in St. Louis than Machado. I think Manny Machado has the Giancarlo Stanton mentality, and I don't think there's anything the Cardinals front office will be able to do about that.
And you may be right, and you're dead on about Goldschmidt. Again, my whole thing comes down to this. The Cardinals have put themselves in a situation where they need a number three hitter. So they're going to have to do something uncomfortable to fix this problem. I'm not advocating giving Paul Goldschmidt a huge contract at that age. I get it. I understand it wholeheartedly. You know, I have my reasons why I like him. I mean, he's got a way better – I mean, let's face it, he's got the better body, baseball body, than Albert did.
Sure.
You know, he doesn't – his swing – and the stress on the lower half is nothing like Albert's was. I mean, it's been, if you follow that part of the game at all, and I do, I mean, it's, you know, a lot of his feet and leg problems, I mean, he puts a lot of torque on his lower half. They all do to some degree. But, again, that doesn't guarantee you anything. I'm just saying that Goldschmidt is a guy, you know, he's played first base. I mean, he's not Josh Donaldson, so he's not. Again, I agree with you. I'm willing to stretch a little bit because they don't have a choice. I mean, that's the problem.
Sure.
That is the problem. They have to answer this question. They have to get a number three hitter, and they've got to fix the bullpen. They have got to do this. They have to.
I agree. And can I make one more point about Harper?
Absolutely. Of course you can.
So premier-type left-handed bats like him come along ever so often. The right-handed bats like Goldschmidt, and Arenado, and Machado, and Trout those kind of guys are just a little more frequent in terms of right-handed power bats that do a lot, Mookie Betts, you know, those type of guys. But the left-handed, the left-handed guy, and not just the left-handed bat, but the left-handed bat who can hit lefties. Like, this isn't a platoon. This isn't a guy who just smashes righties. The guy has a 115 weighted runs created plus against lefties in his career. That's 15% above league average. He can hold his own against left-handed relievers. So you don't have to worry about late in the game, lefty specials coming in, and then Harper just is done, right?
Yeah.
I think that is worth a lot to look at in terms of that left-handed power who can play the corner outfield. And his body, I think, is going to age well. He's had some injuries. I get that. You know, one of them was a torn thumb ligament because he slid into the base head first, and he lost almost a whole season because of that. That's kind of fluky. That's not, you know, that's not a hamstring. That's not foot injuries. That's sliding into a bag and having a traumatic injury, which he bounced back from just fine. So I think for me, it's, you look at the Cardinals and you got DeJong and you got O'Neill and you got Ozuna and you got they're all right-handed. Right? They need a little more balance in that lineup, and Carpenter's not going to be around forever. So I think if you sign a long-term deal to a guy like Harper, who's a power left-handed bat who can hit lefties, you're setting yourself up for some good seasons.
Well, good stuff, my man. I appreciate you coming on each week. Next week, we'll tackle Mr. Machado, and I'll let you say your piece. That'll be a tough one for you, because I'm sure hard to argue numbers-wise, but I know you just don't see it happening. So, before you go, tell our listeners where they can follow you.
On Facebook at MOZ Algorithm and on Twitter at MOZ underscore Algorithm.
Well, great stuff, my man. So officially, you are all in on Bryce Harper. Is that correct?
I think that's the first thing that they need to try and do as soon as the World Series is over.
All right. Sounds good, my man. Appreciate you. I'll see you next week.
All right, see you, Jim.
That is Mo's Algorithm. And, again, you can follow him. He's great. Gives you a lot of behind the scenes. You know, he'll say some things sometimes that aren't popular because even I think about myself. I'll use myself as the example. I mean, I see something. I get all geeked up about it. I think, yeah, I want to do that, want to do that. And then sometimes he'll give me the real lowdown on it, and I'll sit here and go, well, it doesn't look so good now. I mean, where did I screw this up? Why? What made me, you know, and – then I got to start weighing numbers versus production. You know, he's just a great follow. He'll really make you think, and he'll get you outside your comfort zone. There's nothing wrong with that. We got to quit. You know, like I said, I'm the same way sometimes. I'm there, right? I get it. But you know, when a guy says, "Okay, pump the brakes a little bit, and let me tell you why you might not like this," okay, I like to read it. It doesn't mean it's going to change my mind, but. Learn understanding how these numbers work and what they really mean and how they work. Now, I'm never going to get away from the part of the game that I think a guy brings, and that's I will always say the one thing I'll argue with anybody: the ability to hit. You have to have it. I know average isn't as important as people think it is, but it is still a skill and something that if you have, again, I always say this: what good is a guy with a high on base percentage that can't hit if he comes up with runners on second and third and two outs? What good is a guy that hits 240? Okay? I need the hitter. Because, again, you can ask any of these guys. The hitter is the guy that comes – I mean, he comes through. He's more likely to come through in that situation. And that's all I'm saying about it. So, again, great stuff as always from Mo's, and I appreciate him. And, again, he is on board. So that's two on boards with Bryce Harper. Let's take it on over now to the new age thinker, the guy I like to talk baseball with. Let's see what Brendan Schaefer has to say about this. What do you say, Brennan?
How are we doing today, man?
Well, the official question on the table today is to Bryce Harper or not to Bryce Harper. That is the question. You know, I asked Kyle Reese to get in his DeLorean and go back in time and start from the beginning with Bryce Harper and add all that into the equation of what he's done, you know, what he's proven to be and why he's a fit or not a fit for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not going to tell you what he said. What his final answer is. Then I asked Mo's Algorithm to look at the behind the spreadsheet, so to speak, and tell me whether or not Bryce Harper is the answer for the St. Louis Cardinals. I'm interested to hear your take. Like me, you know, you have an opinion based off the game, based off what you see, based off comparisons, and just the way the game's played and all the things that go on and off the field. So I'm curious to get your take. As I see it, the Cardinals have a need. They have an interesting situation in front of them where there's a couple of options to fill a need. I mean, this isn't a maybe. This is an actual opportunity to fill a need that on the surface just takes a commitment and money. Now, there's a little bit to that because there's other teams that can give a commitment and money, and their situation may be more attractive. But if you do it my way, you're going to make them say no. So that being said, I'm curious your thoughts on Bryce Harper and whether or not you think he is the answer for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, and I think it's important to look at it. Here's the way I look at it, is that the Cardinals have a need for an impact bat, like an actual impact bat, maybe the guy that Marcelo Ozuna was in 2017, certainly not the guy he was in 2018. Like, that's the way I view this need for the Cardinals, and you can put that at one of two spots as I see it. You could put it in right field, or you could put it at third base, and there's a discussion to be had on whether you could find a first baseman if there was one to be available on the market that you could move Matt Carpenter to third base and kind of get to the same answer that way. Right field, though, specifically was a huge problem for the Cardinals in 2018. They ranked near the bottom of the league in most statistical categories with their production from that position. And Bryce Harper is an immediate answer to that. And I think he would be a fit, absolutely. And you've seen me clamoring for it on Twitter already the last few days. I think spending money is the answer for the Cardinals this offseason, one way or another. You could go Manny Machado if you wanted to. You could say he probably wouldn't be as willing to come here. I know some people are of that opinion and seem to think Bryce Harper might be more suited to the Midwestern lifestyle. Those conversations will take place all winter long until we find out where these two guys are going. But the Dexter Fowler situation doesn't really bother me. I know he's still got money on a contract. But I agree with you. This is the time to spend money because the Cardinals have been reluctant in the past to give up big resources for big players. Last offseason, trading for Marcelo Ozuna was not an example of that, of trading real resources for a real guy that you thought could be the guy. Ozuna could be a good player. He still could be a good player. He could be a good hitter for the Cardinals next year if he gets that shoulder situation figured out. But the Cardinals they weren't willing to give up major prospect resources to get a trade done. So they gave up some lesser guys to take a chance on Ozuna, and the jury's still out on that. But this offseason, you don't have to give up prospects, right? There are two guys sitting out there on the free agent market that all you got to do is convince them to come here with your cash. And one of them, either of them, could be a difference maker for you. And the likelihood of it happening, I don't know that I consider it very high, but I would definitely be for the Cardinals pursuing Bryce Harper in free agency.
Yeah, I think the way you have to look at this, I know that I said earlier on the show that there seems to be different camps on this thing, right? Like, there's a camp of people that for some reason don't want to spend a billionaire's money. I'll never understand that. I do understand it because they take it all the way and say, well, if they spend on this, they're not going to spend on somebody else. And then I say, well, who have they spent on? Everybody keeps, I like how people say, no, I'm going to wait on Arenado. I'm not waiting anymore. How many years now in a row have we been saying, wait till this guy, wait till this guy, and then we don't get him? So I'm all in now to fix the problem. They have a unique situation. There are two guys. Mo's very eloquently brought up the fact that while Goldschmidt is an interesting name, he's going to be a free agent in a year, and he's 31 years old. He's going to be 31 years old. Okay, these guys are 25, 26 years old. They have multiple years of prime baseball left, years also that guys get even better. So, again, it's a unique situation. The St. Louis Cardinals are the ones that put themselves in this situation, to be quite frank. They don't have a number three hitter. I don't see a number three hitter in the system. I know people want to tell me about Gorman. That's fine. I get it.
That's so far down the road. You can't be counting on that yet. I agree with you there.
I hope he turns out to be better than Mike Schmidt. I don't know what he'll
be. Absolutely.
You cannot sit here and tell me I'm not going to do this because I'm going to wait on some kid that was 18, 19 years old. I'm not going to do it. There's just no way you can. And you want to talk about business sense. That might be good dollars wise. That's not good baseball sense. That's just not. This goes back to what I said before. And again, there's a guy on Twitter that likes to go back and forth with me, and that's fine. That's like this is identical to saying a few years ago, we don't want Max Scherzer because we've got Shelby Miller and Lance Lynn. This is the same conversation. Okay.
Yeah, and I would even say it's more obvious at this point because you don't have a very good answer that's actually here, right? And Shelby Miller and Lance Lynn, those guys were here. They were average to decent players, but they weren't Max Scherzer. You don't have anybody here. You've got maybe one more year of Jed Jerko if you're going to stick with what you've got at third base, or you've got a 180 hitting Dexter Fowler in right field. Maybe you're taking a chance on Tyler O'Neill. You mentioned all the years that we talked about, well, we didn't get this guy. We're waiting on this. This is what we were talking about for those past two or three years. We're talking about this off season. Every time I brought it up on Periscope, I'm like, well, yeah, this player might be interesting. Eric Hosmer, kind of interesting, not perfect. Moustakas, kind of interesting, not perfect. JD Martinez, same thing. Edwin Encarnacion, same thing. I was always looking ahead to this moment, and so this is where the buck has to stop because there is nothing after this, right? There's no guarantee an Arenado is going to come available. He could get signed by a playoff team that wants to keep him. The two guys that are out there right now, this situation does not happen again. It may never happen again. You know, the way free agency is changing, guys may be more willing to sign mega deals early. We don't know. And you've got two of them out there at a time when you have a need. I don't think there could be more of a perfect storm.
Yeah, I hate to say this, but like when you put yourself in a situation where you have to overpay a little bit, I think you have to look in the mirror and say, how'd I get here? Well, I mean, this is how you got here. And I'm not even saying they did anything wrong. Okay, we can have the debate all day long about they could have fixed this by tanking. Okay. They could have tanked and gotten a top. They could have been in the top five picks in the major leagues every year, and you know, and gotten these guys that become available like that, like a Correa and guys like this that become, you know, those types of players. They could have done that, but they don't. Okay, they have a business model. Their business model tells them that tanking's not good. Okay, why is tanking not good? Because they make a lot of money. They make a lot of money how? They make a lot of money by people coming to the park. I know we talk about ticket sales, but I'm going to bring it up again. They make a lot of money when people come to the stadium. You go to games. I go to games. Okay? I haven't, not recently in quite a few years. But when you buy tickets, okay, you spent money on a ticket. But, man, how much money do you spend when you're there? Now, you can go on the cheap and say, I'm going to, but I don't know about you, man, but I've been to a lot of Cardinal games, and I look to my left and I look to my right, and I see people eating and drinking and wearing jerseys and buying souvenirs, and that's what I see. And then how many texts do I get? I mean, you're a young man. If you go to a game, how many texts or tweets do you get saying, meet me at Ballpark Village after? I mean, how many do you get?
Yeah.
It's
definitely their business model to be competitive every year, no question.
But I can tell you, you know, they're dangerously running close now to people saying, I'm not going.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I think we've already seen that a little bit too. And you mentioned they've done it to themselves, and I think more so than saying they didn't tank, because really they've had the talent to compete every year because they've done a good job developing pitchers and coming up with guys that you didn't expect to be a top prospect, but they turned out to be pretty serviceable. They've done that for several years. Here's where I think they've made the mistakes is in their strategy with free agency. Now you can say that it's such a small sample size, so it's bad to just say the whole strategy is a bad one, but you look at the recent moves they've made, guys like Dexter Fowler, where they didn't maybe get the big fish that they wanted. And so they said, you know, we're going to go for value. It's the word Bill DeWitt keeps touting every time you hear him speak, is he wants value in these free agent signings, not necessarily just get the big name and spend the most money. That's fine. But when you spend $80 million on Fowler and it's not a good value, that's a problem. When you spend $30 million on Brett Cecil, and it's not a good value, that's a problem. So the guys that they're touting as these value signings have been disasters. And so the value, and I said this before on Twitter, had a thread last week where I kind of went off the rails and laid it out. The value this winter could be in the big names because you know what they are and you know that they're 26 and they're going to be in their prime for the next five seasons, and then maybe you have an 8 or 9 year deal to where the back half can be a little questionable, but it's never going to be as good as this, because it's not like Jason Hayward where he was a glove first guy that you were offering $200 million to. It's two guys who hit the baseball and are impact bats that are 26 years old and are going to be good hitters for the next few years. You know, there's the value. It's a different situation, but I think it's one for which the Cardinals need to look at it a little differently than they have in the past. The value's not in a Dexter Fowler this year. It's in a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado. It's going to take a lot to get them to spend. I don't think they're going to do it, but if you look at the value, that's where it is.
Yeah, I mean, I look across all the players, right? Like, I look at it and I say, okay, you know, where's the problem? Where did we go wrong? Who made this decision? Who made that? And I get all that, right? Like, you can't, there's no guarantees. I understand all that. Like, you're not going to, like, you don't, like, that doesn't have to be explained to me. I get all that. I just look at it sometimes and say, you know, how did we get here? You know, who made what decision to get us to this point? And you look back at Cardinal teams in the past, they went through what they went through in the late 80s, early 90s. Things weren't good. They went through a complete change when they brought in Tony, right? They changed how they do things. Tony got what Tony wanted. Tony wanted veteran players. They went out and got them veteran players, you know. But I've always looked at this thing from afar and looked at the way they've operated at different times. The way they're operating right now really takes me back to those days, and I'm old enough and was old enough at that time to understand it. And, you know, I think about when they needed a player and players were available, and they actually didn't go get the player that they really needed. They actually went out and got a guy, you know, and essentially paid less money for the lesser of the two evils, so to speak. And they got exactly what they paid for. You know, like, I think about a guy like Danny Jackson all those years ago. People are like, who? I mean, Danny Jackson, you know, he was a guy that they signed to help him, and it just was awful. And there were other guys available, I remember at the time, and they just didn't want to spend the money. And it's like, God, what kind of world are we living in here where we can't fix this problem? You know, to me, and I don't know about you, but when you see a need, a real need like that, I just don't know how you answer with some of the answers they've come up with and say, well, we think this is good enough. In your opinion, do you think this has to do with, I mean, let's face it, for lack of a better, like, it's very broad stroke, but, you know, looking at, like, a WAR stat and saying, well, you know, for that kind of money, I'm just not sure that amount of money is worth one additional point or two. I mean, do you think that's where we're at with how they spend their money, or do you think they've got to start looking at it like, we got to start putting some butts in the seats?
You know, I think that the way they've looked at it is not, I mean, they, you know, I think they just don't want to spend that. I think it's the dollar amount more so than the WAR amount, like looking at an individual contract and saying that's nine figures or that's, you know, whatever the case may be, that's, you know, $100 million, $200 million. That's not something that we can do because we're the Cardinals. And I think they kind of fall back on that, just not willing to go in on one player to such an extent. I don't think it's necessarily the WAR, because if you look at the WAR, talking about this offseason, you're going to find that Manny Machado and Bryce Harper bring plenty to the table as far as that is concerned. But I think it's putting all those eggs into one basket and being concerned about getting burned. But that's, I don't see how that's any different than putting your eggs into a bunch of different, less pretty-looking baskets. You're putting your eggs into Dexter Fowler for $80 million. You're putting your eggs into Mike Leake for $80 million. You're putting your eggs into Brett Cecil for $30 million. Okay, you've just added it up, and now it's $200 million on three guys who weren't any good. And so get a guy who is really good for $200 or $300 million, and is it any different? Now, they've already made those mistakes, so can you say those mistakes are going to prevent them from being able to do anything this offseason? I still don't think that's the case because, you know, you've got some money coming off the billing with Adam Wainwright. Even if he comes back, it's not going to be at $20 million. Like, you look down the road, they've got some payroll flexibility. I think you can make this fit in if you really wanted to. The question is whether they really want to, and I don't think they do. And I think it's going to come down to an unwillingness to put all your eggs into that one basket. You can talk to me about Stanton. You can talk to me about Hayward and how they offered him, and Price, how they offered him. until I see it actually happen, that it doesn't carry very much water for me. It just doesn't mean very much to me, because we got to see them actually sign on the dotted line and make it happen. And I'll believe it when I see it. I don't think it's going to happen. And I think it's going to be just, they see that big number. They see that it's for one guy, and they say, what if he gets hurt? What if it goes south? I think that's kind of the way they look at it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, for starters, it ought to make you really nervous that you and I are exactly on the same page with the way the Cardinals have to approach this. So that should make you nervous. Number two, to be quite frank, I'm also in agreement that it's time to put up or shut up. We can talk all day long about the money that they did offer. Now, I will say this on that note, just to be, not even to play devil's advocate, to give a little bit of, not props, they don't need my props, but, you know, they were willing. Again, rumors are one thing. I'm going to tell you right now, like, what Albert Pujols was offered is a rumor, okay? What they offered Jason Hayward and what they offered David Price, that's not a rumor, okay? That's real. Like, you can't find anywhere where there were agents and everybody coming forward saying this is what was offered. Okay, you can't find that with Albert. You can find what some of the media guys floated out there. You can't find that. But you can find where it was in the media. This is what the Cardinals offered. This is what the Cubs offered. He decided to go with a little bit less money from the Cubs. That's not a rumor. Okay, David Price, you know, Cardinals got outbid at the last minute, and Boston said, we want to know now. You're not going back and trying to get. I mean, that's not rumor. The Giancarlo Stanton thing, they were willing to accept this contract. So my point is, and I guess where I'm going with this, and I'll let you give your last take here. If the Cardinals were willing to offer that kind of money, and I think Kyle Reese brought up a great point. If the Cardinals were willing to give Jason Hayward $200 million, and he was same age as Bryce Harper is, how in the world could they not be willing to give Bryce Harper $300 million? Because he's way better. I mean, it's not even remotely close.
Yeah, that's why I'm hesitant and skeptical, because I don't think they're going to do it. I don't think they're going to sign either of these guys. And again, I understand what you're saying about what was offered to those other guys in Hayward and Price's case, $200 million at most. And I know that we're talking about extra money here with a Harper or a Machado. I think that's what is going to give them pause. It's going to be the extra money. It doesn't have to make sense. It can defy the statistical measurements of WAR or whatever. I just don't think they're going to give anybody. The St. Louis Cardinals aren't going to give anybody a $300 million. And I don't really think, I don't really think with the Stanton thing that they would have had to worry about that. I don't know. I know they were willing to do it. It's just one of those things where you can say you're willing, but it just wasn't ever going to happen. Stanton wasn't ever going to come here, so it wasn't going to make a difference.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like the conversation I had with Craig Mish about Stanton was this. It's like, well, a lot of people are going to say, well, he wasn't going to come here, so it's a false deal. And like he said, but the bottom line is, what people have to understand is they have a deal in place with Miami. So they were willing to say, if Miami comes back.
They were on the hook for it. I understand that.
You know,
I appreciate that they did that. I was calling for them at the time to say, be willing to do it. You have to be willing to do it. But I still feel like I feel like it was a pretty safe gamble. Because the benefit of it was
gamble.
To say,
that's a big gamble if you really don't want it.
But here's the thing. Maybe they weren't comfortable with it, or maybe they were. But at the very least, I still feel like they were going to get some value out of Stanton, and they were going to sell tickets, and it was going to, you know, it would have worked out for them. But if they were as petrified as I kind of tend to think they are of spending $250 million or more on one player, then you're right. It would have been a big gamble. But I don't know. I'm a cynic in this way, because I've said for years, we're waiting for this offseason. We're waiting for this offseason. This offseason's here. I want to see it. And if I'm wrong, I will admit to that. I have no problem doing that. But just the way I'm viewing it right now, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, I'm on the camp of, like, I'm not saying they're going to do it. I'm saying they should do it, and I'm saying I want them to do it. So I'm not saying they're going to do anything. But on that note, and here's where I'll finish, and this is why I feel the way I feel. If you take into account everything I said, and if I'm right, which who knows, if I'm right, I'm probably wrong. If everything we know or everything I know is to be true, and you take into account what Mozeliak said at the meeting I was at, and basically made me feel like I was kind of smart for a minute, because it was about more than the product on the field. It was about the business side that they were willing to take that money on, because they knew they need a player like that, both from a field standpoint, but more from a business standpoint. They need an iconic player. They need a guy that resonates with fans. They need to show other players that they're serious. And that's why they were willing to extend on Stanton, right? That's what he said. Okay? So my point then is, if you were willing to extend on Stanton because you know you needed that guy, that type of player, then why wouldn't you extend on Machado or Harper? So, and now all it now it's not even a trade now. All it is money now. But let's be frank. And again, my guess is, if he could get Bryce Harper for 10 years and $300 million or Manny Machado, I think he'd sign him tomorrow. I think the real issue here is I don't think either one of them are signing for anywhere near $300 million. I think.
What do you think it's going to be?
You know what? It's going to be, my guess, it's going to be in that 350 range. But I think both of them have an opt-out after 2 years, 3 years, something like that. I think they both.
Yeah, and see, that's where it gets dicey, too, because that's one of the reasons that Hayward went to the Cubs. Weird to think about now, because there's no way he's ever opting out of anything. But, you know, players definitely like to have that flexibility and that freedom. And so where are the opt-outs? How many of them is something the Cardinals weren't comfortable with previously? They're going to have to get comfortable with it now and just hope things work out. You know, they've got to offer the best contract, the way I see it. The most years or the most opt-outs, whatever the player wants, that's what you got to offer if you're going to be serious about saying we made a bid.
Now, but let me ask you this, though. Anybody that tells me that the opt-out is the issue here, I don't know what your argument is here. If you wanted to argue, remember one of the big issues with the Stanton thing was, even when it's like we found out they really did say, hey, we're in, we have an accepted trade, blah, 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 right? The only complaint people come back with was, well, he can opt out. We're going to trade away all these good young players for Stanton, and he can opt out in 2 years. I think it was 2 years, wasn't it? Okay, either way, doesn't matter. Year, 2 years, doesn't matter what it is, right? I remember going, look, I think it was 2 years. And I remember, or 3 years maybe. And I remember thinking, if the St. Louis Cardinals were to trade for Stanton and he was to spend the next 3 years here and then opt out, they would probably be ecstatic.
Yeah, because he hit 150 homers.
Well, and not only that, now we're not going to have him for the decline years. Like, we would have probably liked to have him for two or three more years. But, man, somebody's going to be on the hook for those other years. So I understand the argument if you didn't like the – even though I liked it, I would see people going, well, yeah, but you're trading all these young players and you're only going to have this guy for two or three years. Okay, I'll bite, right? But let me ask you a question. When a guy's a free agent, you're not giving up any young players. So what do you care if the opt-out's in there? You had the guy for two or three years and then he opted out. Now, yeah, it sucks if the guy's an MVP and he opts out and he goes somewhere else. But, you know, it's the whole better to have loved than have never loved at all. Seriously, you had him for two or three years, and then he opted out. And the same thing.
Yeah, and
you didn't get hung with the back end of the contract.
Well, and the way I look at it is, if the guy is making $30 million a year, whatever it is, and then he decides to opt out of that to get a bigger deal, well, guess what? You just got some pretty incredible two or three years from that player, and so there's nothing to worry about. You give that guy whatever he wants. Let him opt out after every year. I don't care.
I agree.
Just get him here. And I'm calling for that to happen. So are you. And I think we both made it clear that is not necessarily aligned with our expectations of what will happen. But I think that's the way you've got to approach it. Because, again, I think I don't really care about the extenuating circumstances of each individual deal. And when you add as many of them up as there have been with Price and Hayward and no going after Scherzer and Stanton, when you add all these together, Cardinal fans aren't going to care either. They're going to just want to say, yeah, you finished in second place. You can tell me each time about how this or that happened. But look, there's a pattern now that's developing where you say, oh, we try, but we can't do it. That's the way Cardinals fans look at it. You can sit as the front office all day long and say, that's not how it happened here, and this happened this way. People aren't really concerned about that. And so be the most competitive offer or don't be. Don't try at all. I think that's the way it should be viewed this time. We'll see how it turns out, though.
I'm with you. I think we're both on the same page. And once again, that should make you really nervous. Brennan, for all of our listeners,
yeah, that's all right.
Tell them how they can follow you.
It's at BSchaefer12 on Twitter and KMOV.com/sports.
Hey, I'm really enjoying doing this with you. Next week, we'll talk about Manny Machado. To Manny or not to Manny will be the question next
dive
week.
Dive into that a little bit. That sounds good, man. I'll talk to you then.
I'll talk to you then. That is Brendan Schaefer. Again, really enjoying my conversations with him. I feel like he's younger than I am. He has everybody sometimes has a different approach, but, you know, he's younger and has a real fresh approach and logical. And I enjoy the conversations because I feel like anytime I can talk to somebody that has a differing view and we can kind of bounce stuff off one another, I think it's great. And again, I love it. I think it's a lot of fun, and I hope he's enjoying doing it as much as I am. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. Again, three different perspectives, but man, it's a resounding 4-for-4. You know, to Harper or not to Harper. I think the resounding thing today was absolutely you, Harper. Situation calls for it. Everything is there that you needed to do this. I think it's time. So, again, great show today. Look forward to the conversation next week with all my cohorts in crime. Want to thank the people that make the show possible, as always. Again, I mentioned InnovativeCompanies.com, my man Randy Green. Residential, commercial, industrial, doesn't matter. He's 35 years experienced. He's a second-generation craftsman and, more importantly, a man of his word. That's InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget Adam Smokehouse over on Watson Road. You need your barbecue fix. It's time to get it on. Weather's turning a little bit. Nothing like some warm barbecue. It'll go down real smooth here in the fall, folks. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, open till 7 now, so you can stop and grab it on your way home. Don't forget the specials. I love when they make different things and you can try different stuff. It's all awesome. You can't go wrong with anything at Adam Smokehouse. If you're from out of town and traveling, I know we got Cardinal fans all over the country, and sometimes you come in town and you're looking for things to do in St. Louis. Don't forget our friends at Adam Smokehouse. Tell them where you're from, and they'll put the pin in there as they're finding out that they've got people coming in and trying their barbecue from all over the world. So great stuff as always from them. Again, can't do the show without all of our sponsors and all the people that choose to work with us. We've really been excited about working with Gators Baseball Academy. Tons of people that listen to the show obviously are involved in this wonderful game of baseball with their kids. It means a lot to you who you trust with your son or daughter. There's still some girls that play baseball till an older age, and obviously a lot of them play softball, and as the Gators Baseball Academy starts to branch out into the softball world as well, you're always looking, or you should always be looking, for a quality organization that you can trust with your son or daughter. Their four-pillar system will meet all your needs when it comes to developing both the athlete and the person. That should mean something to you. If it doesn't, I would caution you to take a minute and think about it. But when it comes to the training aspect, they've got the right people in place. They're a people organization. They care very much about the people that they employ and how they interact with their clientele, their program. It's important. And if you're going to do this thing, you really got to do your homework. And again, GatorsBaseballAcademy.com, you can learn so much more about it. It's the off season. The off season is where you get better, folks. Their academies are going on right now. I would encourage you to check them out today. It's a wonderful program with wonderful opportunities for people all over. That's GatorsBaseballAcademy.com. You can learn more about us, TwoBirdsOnABat.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your shopping at Amazon there. That would help us all immensely. Again, we appreciate everybody that does that. It means a lot to my producers, Brian Kroc, Andrew Allen. Don't forget to check us out on social media. If you follow us on Twitter, at Birds on a Bat Show, and you're a Cardinal fan, we're going to follow you back because we're interested in what you have to say. Our big push right now, as always, is Facebook. We're growing our show every day, and you guys have really answered the bell there. That's why we have the great contest going on. Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, the show comes out typically by early afternoon. You guys have the opportunity to go to the post on Facebook. Very easy to do if you already don't follow it and don't know how to do it. You just type in Two Birds on a Bat in the search bar, and you'll find us. Go to the post, like it, just make a comment, jump in the conversation, and, of course, share it. Once you've done those, the interns here are taking all the people that meet those three criteria. They're throwing them in drawings every week, and we're having big drawings about once every 2 to 3 weeks, giving away autographed memorabilia and sending it out and surprising people with it. And, again, folks, I can't thank you enough. You guys have really, really answered our call there. By you sharing the show and by commenting and liking, you're making our posts relevant, and we're reaching people all the time that haven't heard the show yet. So it's really great, and we do appreciate it. Facebook has been a big push for us, obviously, but, of course, Instagram is as well, Two Birds on a Bat Show. And you can find us at lineupmedia.fm, home now to Yo Radio, the great new streaming platform. You guys are going to want to check it out. It's awesome. It's free right now in the mobile app store. I would check it out today and download it and start enjoying it. It's a wonderful new streaming platform I know you guys will like. They would love a review if you'd like to leave them one. For all my cohorts in crime here, special thanks to all of our Facebook groups that allow us to share And, of course, Nate McHenry with RileySquirrel.com has been with us for a long time, and he does a tremendous job. Check out RileySquirrel.com to learn more about his Riley Squirrel Club. Don't forget Chris Lawless, Ron over at Cardinals 24/7, Gino, Crash, all the great guys over there that do tremendous work and love what they do and take very serious what they do. We love those guys. There's nothing better than partnering with other groups that are in it for the right reasons, just like we hope to be. That's Cardinals Nation, Cardinals 24/7, Team of Rivals. Great stuff. Don't forget to check them out. Mick Light, Art City Media, thank you for your continued support as well. It means a lot to us. You have such a big reach, and it's always noticeable when you jump on our bandwagon. Cardinal Freak, always helping us out. We can't thank him enough. Friends of Yadier Molina, that Facebook group has really embraced us. St. Louis Cardinals crew, another one. Thank you, guys. STL Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals Nation. So many great Cardinals haters, Cardinals fans versus Cardinals haters, Cardinals country, baseball heaven. So many great Facebook groups out there, guys. There's no shortage for great Cardinals fans. For all of us here at Two Birds on the Bat, let's go Birds!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.